Chapter 32. Two more of Rossetti's best Marines, one name-tagged Martinez, the other O'Brien, were on guard at ops when Hicks returned. Neither challenged him as he walked in carrying Spence over his shoulder. Martinez helped him ease her down into a chair and performed a quick field assessment of the dazed lab tech. Hicks wondered if Rossetti had told her or O'Brien what had happened to their buddies at the air scrubber. Probably not, he thought. They didn't look nervous enough. Jackson glanced over her shoulder at him from where she stood at the main console. Revised ETA for the Kansas City is another 7.5 hours from now, she told him, plus or minus the usual 15 minutes. Hicks supposed that was good news. He strode over to where Rossetti sat staring at something on his flexi.
Reporting from the field, sir. He yanked the man's swivel chair around so they faced each other.
The colonel looked up at him with no expression on his face.
Right now, things ain't too shit-hot around here. They're just plain shit, he continued. We've got to rig the fusion package and blow this joint as soon as possible.
Rossetti gazed up at him silently, his face still expressionless, then looked around him to Jackson.
Sound the general alert, he told her. But make it a routine lifeboat drill.
For a moment, Hicks thought his brain had exploded.
A general fucking alert, he said. A lifeboat drill? Who the hell do you think's going to be left for the Kansas City to pick up? I say, we blow the fusion package now.
Hicks! Jackson turned away from the console to glare at him. You took out the main air scrubber. Pretty soon there'll be nothing left to breathe in here. We'd have been okay for 5 days, except you also started an electrical fire, which is spreading because the fire suppression system is fucked, and most of my ops crew are dead or missing. Hicks wasn't really surprised, but hearing it out loud made him feel sick.
And you still haven't rigged this place to blow?
Yeah, I was getting to that. Jackson straightened up, her light pen landing on Rossetti. No.
Corporal Hicks, you'll lead the group from this sector, Rossetti said matter-of-factly, as if he really were organizing a lifeboat drill. At the alert, they'll meet up at the blue assembly point, then proceed to the nearest lifeboat bay.
His neutral face took on a hard, stony expression.
And we're calling it a drill because it'll make people more cooperative, he added. They want to get it over with, so they move faster.
Abruptly, Bishop stepped between him and Rossetti.
Colonel, I've sent you my analysis.
He pointed at the flexi on his forearm. It estimates that at this point, between 35% and 40% of Anchor Point's remaining population are already incubating. Rossetti's face turned an alarming shade of red.
Listen to me. You soulless, motherless zombie. Those are people, not numbers. We have to get them out.
Understood, Colonel, Bishop said, unperturbed.
However, and you,
Rossetti jabbed a finger at Hicks,
you have your orders, Marine.
And I'm not doing shit until Jackson sets anchor point to blow, Hicks told him, going full on outlaw.
Out of the corner of his eye, he could see Martinez and O'Brien gaping.
You ain't seen nothing yet, he promised them silently.
Look, Colonel, he went on, by the time the Kansas City shows up, there'll be nobody to rescue. You know what they'll do, send in a boarding party. Can you guess what happens next, or do you need a video?
Damn it, Hicks, will you just shut up and listen?
Jackson yelled angrily. He turned to look at her in surprise.
I'm right there with you, all the way, Jackson went on. But the fusion package chamber is directly under the main air scrubber. You know, the one you took out with a mortar and started a fire? That fire triggered the fusion package emergency safeguards. The package is completely sealed off, and because full comms are down, I can't unseal it remotely with an override signal. There's not enough bandwidth for the codes.
That leaves the fusion package all wrapped up so it can't hurt anybody.
I can go down there and set it manually, Bishop said,
as if he were volunteering to go out for coffee.
I'll go with you, Hicks said.
Bishop shook his head. You need to assist with the drill, he glanced at Rossetti, and evacuation.
Yeah, the evacuation, Jackson said, glowering at Rossetti. You just want to get your own ass out of here, don't you, Colonel, while you figure out how to cover it. Weapons Division couldn't have done any of this shit without your okay, right?
Despite his sympathy for Jackson, Hicks suppressed a groan. Even in the middle of the worst disasters, civilians always found time to lay blame.
Hicks!
Spence yelled in a terribly panicky voice.
He turned to see O'Brien stumbling clumsily into the middle of the room, the strap of his pulse rifle slipping off his shoulder. He shrugged it away and tore off his armor, letting everything drop to the floor as he doubled over and cried out in pain. Martinez took a step toward him and Hicks waved her back as they all heard something rip, loudly, horribly. O'Brien straightened up and pulled his shirt open. Hicks saw several red blotches on his white undershirt. The Marine looked down at himself in agony and horror, and then at everyone else.
"Please,"
he begged, blood dribbling out of his eyes and nose. He coughed, spraying more blood into the air, and Hicks gestured for everyone to move farther back.
I don't know what."
He staggered toward Jackson, who sidled away from him in a hurry. The beam from her light pen scribbled over his body as he fell face down across the console. Hicks heard another ripping sound along with the crack of breaking bones. O'Brien let out a strangled cry that cut off sharply. He flipped over onto his back and blood exploded from his chest along with a half dozen mutant chest bursters.
"Everybody out!"
Hicks bellowed, yanking Spence to her feet. A small, calm part of his mind took note of the fact that multiple aliens could now gestate in a single host. Sans cocoons. God only knew what else was different. Not that he really wanted to find out. The last thing he saw as he got everyone out of the room was a trail of tiny, clawed footprints rendered perfectly in blood, running diagonally across one of the monitors. Martinez took point as they hurried through the corridors, with Hicks and Bishop bringing up the rear. Rossetti had the presence of mind to grab both Hicks's weapon and the dead Marine's pulse rifle. He stayed right behind Martinez, although it wasn't long before he was panting like a dog. He also looked like he was still in pain, despite the pills he was popping on the sly. Probably hadn't moved this fast in years, Hicks thought, feeling a little sorry for him. A cushy desk job was supposed to lead to retirement, not a death match with aliens. Vasquez made a fleeting appearance in his brain.
"Hey, I didn't volunteer for that either. Did you?"
As they approached a junction of five passageways, Martinez signaled for them to slow down and stay behind her. Normally, there was plenty of traffic, on foot and on wheels, but now the place was deserted. What would the aliens do if they did kill everyone on Anchor Point, Hicks wondered suddenly. Would they turn on each other until their acid blood destroyed the whole station? Somehow, he didn't think so. They were unrelentingly savage, but they practically ignored each other. Maybe they'd hibernate, put themselves on standby to wait for prey, which was apparently a pretty damned long time. Ripley's report on her first encounter with them had described the corpse they'd found amid thousands of eggs as fossilized, with a big, ragged hole in the torso where something had torn its way out from inside. Maybe while it was sending out the warning, the Nostromo had misinterpreted as a distress signal. Weyland Yutani, however, had known what it really was and deliberately steered them to the planetoid. The company never missed an opportunity to make a profit. Unfortunately, they had failed to consider the drawbacks of this particular ultra-deadly bioweapon. The aliens didn't kill on command, or for a nation, or a cause, or any reason at all. They just killed. They were animals that behaved like a disease, one that had no vaccine, no treatment, and no cure. The hand on his shoulder made Hicks jump. He turned to find Bishop beside him.
"Overload at 2200, he said. "That should be enough time if we aren't off Anchor Point by then."
Hicks moved them both away from the others.
"Just blow it. That's all that matters."
He shoved the flexi up on his forearm so he could set the alarm on his watch. When time was of the essence, there was nothing better than a good old-fashioned mechanical watch you wound by hand, one that didn't crash and couldn't be hacked.
"There can't be anything left of these bastards when the Kansas City shows up. Got that?"
"Understood, Corporal," Bishop replied. He left quickly, but without hurrying. Hicks stared after him. Only Bishop could plan to blow up a space station with such equanimity, he thought. Sorry that he couldn't send someone else. Bishop's sangfroid was like a safety net.
"Get over it," he told himself,
and turned back to the group to see Martinez looking a question at him. Hicks gave her the get-moving signal. She pointed at the second corridor on their right, then turned to the rest of the group, snapping her fingers to get their attention.
"See that passageway at 2 o'clock?
She waited for everyone to nod yes.
"Good. On my mark? Ready?"
They all nodded again.
3, 2, 1. Mark!
Rossetti's lifeboat drill expectations had been wildly optimistic. There were only half a dozen people waiting for them at the assembly point, and they knew this was no drill. Hicks made a mental note to rub Rossetti's nose in that later as he used the Flexi's facial recognition to identify them. The woman with the short dark hair and a religious tattoo framing her left eye was named Halliday, and Hicks knew immediately she'd be trouble. She fluctuated between confusion and imminent collapse, a condition that would only get worse. Eventually, they'd have to carry her, until they couldn't. The older man, Tatsumi, was steadier, a lab manager with the slightly wary look of someone whose world had suddenly mutated into something unrecognizable. The other four were his staff, and still deferred to him. The two guys, Abelera and Vito, had a strong bond that reminded him of Vasquez and Drake, who had grown up together in a Brazilian favela. It left the other two, a tall, dark-skinned woman named Talisa and a curly-haired non-binary called Quill, as buddies by default. Talisa had been on Anchor Point for almost 2 years, but the other three were new hires who'd arrived only a few months ago. As green as they were, however, Hicks was pretty sure the fake lifeboat drill hadn't fooled them for a second. It was almost funny. So how's that fabulous career in space working out? Met anyone fascinating? Be careful. If you catch an alien from them, you're screwed.
Is this all? Rossetti said, looking around. There should be at least 30 people here.
I can't find Tom, Halliday said, full of concern. What's going on? What happened? Tom was just here. I mean, there, but then...
Forget it, Jackson said, patting her shoulder. He's probably waiting for you on the lifeboat. Good old Tom, that's just like him, isn't it? She glanced at Hicks and shrugged. If this is everybody, I guess we can go, right? As the group gathered together, Hicks caught Jackson's sleeve and slipped her his service automatic.
Help me keep an eye on them, okay?
Jackson stuck the weapon in the back of her waistband and covered it with her shirt.
Listen up, everybody, she ordered. You all know I'm Jackson, chief of ops, right? Great, so you all know the goddamn drill. We've only done it a million times, even you rookies. We stick together and take Route A-52 to Blue Concourse, where we'll meet up with two other groups at Bay 5 and proceed to board...
Excuse me, Tatsumi said politely, raising one hand. What is happening here, please? Hicks winced. Maybe the guy wasn't steady after all. Jackson took it in stride.
Don't interrupt, please, she said. We're on our way to board a lifeboat and we'll be following emergency procedures until we either get the all clear or we launch, whichever comes first. Then I'll be taking questions, and not before. Everybody clear on that? She glanced at Hicks, and he gave her the go-ahead. Great, she said. Let's move it.